Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Amen. Before I keep standing, I want us to sing that without music. Without music. It's just a sweet, sweet time, sweet song, sweet time for us to be able to rest in Him as we worship. Can I get some house lights up? I'd rather see the people. I want some of them. I want to be able to see them. I want to see them when they smile, and I want to see them when they frown. They're not frowning. They're not frowning. There you are. There you are. Amen. We're still adjusting to the new lights and all, but Pastor Charlie, if you would just lead us in that, and we'll just sing it without music and just worship the Lord.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great.
Be still and know that He is God. Give Him the biggest shout you've ever given Him before. He's worthy. Yes, Lord! Woo! Woo! Amen. You can be seated if you can. Amen. Whew. Oh, he's good. People sometimes will send me text or a note or whatever, and they'll say, I enjoyed the message today or whatever it was. And my response is, God is good to this boy. If anything is good coming out of him, out of me, it's because of him. So if you enjoyed the message, it's his message. If you enjoyed the singing, it's his singing. You with me? Amen, amen. Tell somebody that you love them and mean it. And mean it. Amen. 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 I want to thank everyone. We're back up here. Isn't it wonderful to be back in this house? We love it down there as well. I want to say thank you to everyone that had to work hard to let us be down there for worship and message. You did a great job. Media, staff, directors, everybody did such a wonderful job and made that possible, made it happen. And I want to thank you, congregation, for going on that journey with us while they were putting in lights. 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 I want to thank Focus Audio and Russell Sellers and Justin Jones, who is in the sound booth, and they put the lights in, and they just look like lights to me, don't you? So we waited for just this. Now we're going to have a little bit of demonstration for just a few seconds. So would you like that? Okay. All right. Go ahead, Justin. Man, if I had some music right now. Pastor Charlie, come up here to the piano real quick. You know what disco means? Disc goes here, disc goes there. Never mind. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we go on the fly around here. It's just when the Spirit wants us to go this way, we'll go that way. So I want to say thank you for everyone that made this possible. As you can tell, we're LED lights. We save energy as well. And also during our productions, you can do it, but if somebody is speaking or singing over here, can we do that? Amazing. Amazing. Oh, wrong side. Oh, this side. And he can spotlight an area and he can zoom in. Are you zoomed in? Is that zoomed in? Now, I can't see a thing. But see, during our plays or musicals or anything special songs, we can each one of these lights can do just what that one did. It can change colors. Can you change colors, Justin? Woo! Amen. Amen. Disc go here and disc go there. All right, I wanted to say thank you. I wanted to give you that demonstration so you can see that the money is well spent. We went from a floppy disk, which was in the 70s, And we're now digital, and everything is just up to date and modern, and we are just so thankful to God for your contributions to it, for allowing us to be able to do this. We were limping along with our previous lighting, and sometimes we had to put Band-Aids and patches and replacements, and we realized that, as a matter of fact, the media team talked to me, Philip and Justin talked to me about it, said, you know, they have replaced a lot of different lights that's as old as our other ones, and they when they go out completely, they go out, and then they have to order things, and then it's a long ordeal to be able to get it back to going. So we made a decision, prayed about it, talked to the elders about it, and we felt like the best thing we can do is plan ahead. We're already patching. We're already trying to make it work. So plan ahead, get it ordered, and how do we know it's God? It's all paid for. Amen. Not in debt, and we've been out of debt for quite a while now. So it's all because of God's grace and God's goodness, and your giving, and your generosity. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart as your pastor that we can see things happen, and it's for the glory of God, and it's for the well-being of His people. Amen. So thank you again, and give God praise for what He's done here. Just give Him praise. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to continue to talk to you about this thing of knowing the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that word know, once again, means to become one with. It's not just have a head knowledge. We can have head knowledge and not really have Him. And so I want you to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 is one of my favorite passages, a couple of verses there. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2 says this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." See, upon being saved, our next step is the process. It's not a one-time event. The process of being transformed. I know Christians that, is that Brenda? Brenda, Lane, is that you? We have been praying for you. This is Tammy's mother. So thank you for being here. We have been praying for you, and we praise God that you're doing better. I love to see answered prayer. I really do. So let's praise God for it. Amen. Woo. Woo. See, I can see who's out there. I can still remember Brenda. Fiery one. I met another Brenda just a few minutes ago. Fiery one. Giver of great light. And her husband, that's this Brenda over here, her husband says, "I know that." And I said, "You're a smart man. You're a smart man," because she is a giver of great light. So anyway, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove the will of God, that it is good, acceptable, and perfect. I love the Phillips translation. It says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold." Don't let it squeeze. So there's a squeezing going on by the world, squeezing Christians, trying to make us look like the world, trying to get us to act like the world and be conformed to the world. He said, they'll squeeze you into the mold. He said, but let God remold your mind from within, that you may prove in practice. You get that? That you may be able to prove in your practice, in your living, the good things of God and God's will. See, we're called to not just worship Him, not just to give, not just to serve, but we're called to prove in practice, in our living, the goodness of God. Amen? How great is He? He's great. He's so great. And he says, he said, and that you meet, all his demands and you move toward the goal of maturity. So tell yourself this, I'm a Christian and I have to move toward maturity. See, that's a choice you get to make. That's a choice that you say, I do, I will. I'm going to move toward maturity. I'm going to become more and more mature in my walk with God. Not stay on the bottle the whole time. Not be on baby food after being a Christian for 10 years. No. Solid meat. The things that's going to make us strong. The things that's going to make us be able to stand when things get rough. Have you ever had to stand when things got rough? How many of you have had any rough things to happen in your life? Talk to me. If you haven't, just wait. Just be patient. You know. But every rough time you got is an opportunity for him to shine. What I say? Every time you have a rough time, a trial, you have an opportunity for him to shine through us. He's remolding us in our thinking. We can't be transformed and not change our thinking to align with him. It's not just change your mind. It's change your mind like him, to think on the things he thinks on, to do the things he says to do. And one more verse, it's in the message, but it is a paraphrase. He said in the message Bible, it says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life. Has everybody got an everyday ordinary life? Okay. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Everything about you, place it before God as an offering. When you get up in the morning, when you go to work, before you get in the car to leave, you place it before God as an offering. Thank God you got a vehicle. Do you hear what I'm saying? Thank God you got gas in it. Thank God none of your tires are flat. You know? But now when you have a flat tire, what do? Thank God. Thank God anyway. Count it all joy. Isn't that what he said? Count it all joy. All what? All the flat tires you got. Everything. Count it all joy. Why? Because he's saying, because I'm at work. He's at work in mine and your life. He's doing things in you and I that we cannot do ourselves. We can't make it without him. We can't look like him without him. We can't talk like him without him. So he goes on and he said, I want you to embrace what God is doing for you because it is the best thing you can do for him, and that's embrace what he's doing. That's the best thing you can do for him. Embrace him as things come and go. And it says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture. This is real. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking about it. You're just sort of moving with the herd. You know what I'm saying? Where are we going? Over here. Why are we going over here? We don't know. We're just going. You understand what I'm saying? No. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. He goes on and he said, instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. So how does change come? From the inside out. Say from the inside out. From the inside out. He changes the inside, and we work it out. And he goes on, he said, recognize what he wants from you and respond to it quickly. Unlike the culture around you, it's always dragging you down to its level of maturity. The world tries to drag you and I down to its level of operation. Why is that? Because as long as you are on the same plane with them, they don't have any conviction. They don't have anything going on. You're just like us. I read that magazine. I've told you this several times. It's been years and years ago. So when we needed the church the most, we looked at her and found that she was just like us. Oh, that was such a painful thing when I read it. When we needed the church the most, we looked at her and saw that she was just like us. We need to be different. We are called to be different. We're called to be people that are transformed, changed, like a butterfly, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's that transformation. You used to crawl on the ground, but now it's like you're flying around seeing all this stuff. Why? Because there's been a transformation in your life. It's not a one-time event. It is a lifetime event. It's all of our life. All of our life. He said, so we need to develop develop maturity in our life. So with that being said, with those verses, with that passage, renewing comes from knowing. Your renewing comes from knowing. If you don't know what he says about it, you're not going to renew your mind and thinking to do what he says about it. So renewing comes from knowing. And knowing inwardness produces transformation. When you know and you become one with that truth, you have been transformed in that area of your life. Have you ever noticed that there's be some things that the enemy used to really bug you with, and he doesn't bug you about it today? Has anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, see, the very things that he used to bug me with, he don't bug me about that. Now, it doesn't mean he don't stop irritating me. He don't stop working. The enemy's always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But there's something he can't bother me with. He can't bother me with the love of God, that God loving me. He cannot bother. He can say what he wants. He can allow people to say what they want. But I'm unshakable. Why is that? Why is that? I know it. I've become one with his love. See, we go around trying to love people. How many of you have ever tried to love people? A few of you, not many, but some of you have already given up on it, so it's like, I get it. No, I'm messing with you. We try to love people, and then God sends to us people that some of the hardest people in the world to love, and we try even harder. You with me? See, you can't try to love people. You know how you love people? You become love. Become one. You know the love of God, so you're able easily to love people. You know, I was telling you, I don't know, a few months ago about when the witch showed up at the office and was talking to her. And before she left, I said, I want to bless you. I want to hug you. She said, I don't need your blessing. And I said, well, it ain't mine. It's God's. You know, and I said, it's okay that I hug you. And she just stood there. She didn't say yes or no, so I just grabbed her and just loved her. Now, she stood like a tree, you know, but I loved on her. I loved on her. But she's a witch. Oh, she's a person who's trapped in witchcraft. You hear me? If I just see a witch, that's really not who she is. That's not who she is. I'm loving her to be able to come who he said she is. The world is looking for love, some people to become love. How many of you ever tried to be good? Oh, I got a little bit, few more to do that one, you know, but... you tried to be good. Well, you can't be good. He makes you good. Not your effort, not my effort, but his making. His making. We are his righteousness. We don't even act like it sometimes. But he said, we are his righteousness in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are the righteousness of God. Oh, that's worth shouting over. Yeah, it's worth shouting over. Why? Because it is the truth. Know that truth. And it'll make you free in trying to work. Like what the prophet was telling me. He said, God said, I got a word from God for you. And he said, the fire. He said, you're fired. And I didn't want to be fired. Thought I was supposed to do what I thought I was supposed to do with. And I said, well, why am I fired? He said, I'm glad you ask. I said, why am I fired? He said, the Lord's fired you from working for him. He wants you to work with him. Changed my life again. How many life changes have you had in your life? I've had some, I have so many. And you know how many more I'm going to have? A bunch more. Because as we go, we grow. As we go, we grow. We stop going, we stop growing. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand that he tells us to know the word, to become one with that word. So here's the question. How do we become one with the word? Good question, Pastor. But one thing we cannot do is we cannot go around in life that says, I've already heard that. I already know that. Do you hear what I'm saying? A little child comes up to you and says something that Jesus loves you. You say, well, I already know that. I already heard that. But we don't need to be, I already know, I already heard. We need to take in what he's giving. It might come from a little one. It might come from an older one. It might come from someone. Listen, it might come from someone that don't even know the Lord. But God's saying something through them. David understood that because his soldiers wanted to go out and kill the enemy. He said, no, leave them be. Because they're telling me something that I need to hear. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hear God. Hear him when he talks to you. He'll talk through other people. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Said, if he can make a donkey talk, he can certainly make anybody talk. You understand what I'm saying? So when you begin to know that and need to hear that, you begin to see that God's got this. We're not alone. No matter what we've gone through, no matter what's happened, no matter what's devastated our life, we are not alone. We're not alone. And we need to be able to come on because he brings up, you remember that last week we said the Holy Spirit will glorify God and he will take of Jesus, he will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. He will reveal it to you. He will take of Jesus and he will open up, he'll unveil it. And that word disclose means to make it known and to rehearse it. The Holy Spirit has had to do a lot of rehearsing in my life. Pastor Charlie, when y'all rehearse, do y'all go over the same songs you already know? You do, don't you? Yeah, absolutely. You already know that. Some of them are brand new and you're learning it. But you need to hear. As a matter of fact, it's over in Peter. Paul said this. He said, I'm going to remind you of these qualities. I'm going to remind you of the truth. It's over in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to remind you of these qualities and this truth as long as I'm in this body. Because it's good for me. It is a good thing for me to stir you up, to keep you stirred up over the good things of God, even though you've already heard it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Ecclesiastes said, there is nothing what? New under the sun. So just because we're hearing something, you know, I won't go there. Just because we're hearing something that we've heard before, don't discount it. Don't discount it. Listen to what God is telling you. He may be telling you something that has nothing connected with what the pastor or the speaker is saying. But all of a sudden, he's using what was said to tell you about something else. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. So he says this. So how do we know that we know the truth? Very easily. You don't know the word without becoming the word. You don't know the truth until you become the truth. You don't know the word. I know a lot of, bless you, I see a lot of people that can recite the Bible a lot better than me. matter of fact, I've got some relatives that, one relative that knows the Bible. I mean, he can quote the Bible to you just about any time you want to. But he's like a, I love him, I really do pray for him, but he's like a tree. He's not cordial. See, he knows the word, but he don't know the giver of the word. He knows the Bible, but he don't know the truth that's in the Bible. He hasn't become one with what he knows. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, we can recite a lot of things, we can say a lot of things, and we can do a lot of talking about just about anything. But you can't give away what you don't have. Pastor John, you got $1,000 on you. See, the reason I can't get $1,000 from John today is what? You don't have it. You cannot give what you do not have. If you do not have the passion and the burning of Jesus in your life, you won't be able to give that to people. Can't. A mind will reach a mind. A heart will reach a heart. And a life will reach a life. But all it is we just know in our mind. We won't be able to become anything. We worry about all our doing, and all God wants us to do is become. Just become. Become like him. Become like Christ. We praise God for the lights. I thank God. But see, these lights mean nothing to me if we stop becoming like Christ. If all we want to do is focus on that, then we've got some great lights. Bring on the show. You hear what I'm saying? But see, the lights is not, the lights, I praise God for that. But we need to become everything that he's given us. Everything that he is, everything that we are, we need to become. To become. To be transformed. To become, to be transformed. And the reason I say that is because in John 1, chapter 1, it says, the word became flesh. Jesus, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. But what happened first? The Word, he's the Word. The Word became what? Flesh. Flesh here is not sinful flesh. It's human flesh. The Word became human. So what are we saying? He says right before that, he said, as many as received him, he gave them to become the children of God, the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were not born of blood, who were not born by the will of man, nor of flesh, but born of God. Why did he say that? He says he wants us to be just like Jesus. Jesus said, as I have been sent by the Father, so what? I send you. So what is he saying? The Word became flesh. The word that we know, when we really know it, we will become that word. We know it. And it's seen by people. It's seen by people. See, it says that you grace and truth. He's full of grace and truth. Grace sees us as God sees us. See, we battle with God a lot of times because we don't see the way he sees. We don't even see us the way he sees us. We walk around in condemnation and all this other kind of stuff, and he don't see us that way. We walk around and say, I'm a failure. No, it's not who you are. Failing at something is just an opportunity to get to do it over. You don't fail grades with God. You get to take it over, and the next time you take it, it's an open book test. You look it up, then you say, okay, that's the answer right there. There's the answer right there. Then you become one with it. Becoming one with it. So he became, the word became flesh. Paul said, work out your own salvation. What's he saying? Flesh out your own salvation. Go to work. Let it go to work on you to change your attitude. I was around a prophet one time, and we went out to dinner, and he was prophesying and saying a lot of things, and I didn't have a problem with what he's saying, none at all. Matter of fact, what he was saying was pretty accurate. Went out to eat, and that was the rudest man to that waitress that I had seen in so many years. Couldn't be pleased. Couldn't be happy, didn't like nothing, didn't like her, didn't like the food, didn't like this, didn't like the service, didn't like, and complained about everything. I looked at the pastor at that time and I said, I think I'm gonna go on home. He said, you can't. And I said, what do you mean I can't? He said, I drove you here. And I said, which means I know the way. And I walk. He said, no, you can't go. Why? It bothered me to be around at that time. Really, I was a lot younger in the Lord during then too. I didn't respond. I don't respond Christ-like in everything that I do. Wish I did. And I'm working on doing it. But it really bothered me to be around somebody that wanted to lift up. He can prophesy. He can tell a lot of truth. But yet his character didn't match up with who he said he was. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so when the pastor said, you can't leave, so I just made my mind up that the best thing for me to do is talk to him. You just may as well say, uh-oh. My best thing I can do is just talk to him. And I said, can I ask you something? He said, sure. I said, can I ask you something? He said, yeah. And I said, you said a lot of things at church that I really did like, that I think God is saying through you. But does God not speak to you when you're at a restaurant or you on your own? That was a question. That wasn't condemnation. That was just a question. He said, well, what do you mean? And I said, I noticed you ain't happy. You ain't happy with nothing. And you're very critical about all this other stuff. I said, is God not speaking to you? Or is that you? Now, the pastor over there, he was squirming a little bit. He was squirming a little bit, but he smiled. He smiled at me, but anyway. But he looked at me, the man looked at me, and he said, is it that bad? I said, uh-uh, it's worse than that. It's really not. And I said, you had a crowd full of people today. And I said, here's this one woman that needs to be touched with the love of God, with the kindness of God, with the patience of God. But you didn't have that for her. I said, I just wanted to remind you. And he looked at me and he said, I repent. And I said, you're good. God's going to use you. He's going to continue to use you. But see, the whole point was what? How do you know when you know the word? It's when you say something, your life starts looking like what you just said. Your life starts looking like what you just said. That's when you know that you know the word. While you're living out what you just got through talking about. You know, we have this thing that says, well, you know, everybody does wrong. All that is just pity parties. You hear what I'm saying? You're looking for a crutch. You're looking for a prop up. Everybody does it. Everybody, you know, nobody perfect. That's just a crutch. Why? Because you want permission. Listen to this. You want permission to stay as you are. Oh. Well, everybody, you're looking for permission to be able to stay unchanged. And sympathy will give people that. We ought to cry when other people's crying. Cry with those, weep with those that are weep, rejoice with those that are. We ought to enter into these things, but you can't stay in them with, you can't leave them there. And you can't pacify them with their sadness. Are you hearing me? What do they need? They need the truth. They need love. They need instruction. They need to hear what God has to say so they can get up from where they are and begin to move to where God wants them to be. Don't look at me like we don't ask for. Yeah, we do. Sometimes we'll, oh, woe is me, and we want people to woe is me with me. Because we want permission to do it. We want permission to stay like we are. God doesn't give permission to stay that. He allows you to do that. He invites you to change. He invites me and you to change. Hey, Joe. Good to see you, brother. See, the righteousness... Never mind. Let me say this. The thing that we need to understand, he said, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. That what? That men will what? See your good works and what? Well, he didn't even say that Christians. He said men. Let your light so shine. That when men see your good work, people. When people see your good works, they'll glorify the Father, your Father. He didn't say their Father. They'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. That your shining light, your living out what you know. See, this word shine and this thing about works, it's the expression of God at work in your life. You let your life so shine. Let your life be so that the expression of God is working in your life and people see it. And people see it. And when they see it, they'll know that came from God. That ain't from them. You know, some of the hardest things to go through is some of the hard, I mean, you can pick out a lot of hard things. The hardest things that we can go through is without him. The hardest thing to go through is without him. With him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we see this. He said, this is an expression of God, and they'll glorify the Father. And also that word work means employment. Are you ready for that one? That they may see, let your light so shine, that they may see your employment. In my employment, what does that mean? That means I'm in business. Whose business? The Father's business. He said, be about my Father's business. So that word works there means to be employed by the Father in the Father's business. Oh, I love that. Don't you? I love that. Be employed and be an expression of God at work in you, that you're an employee of God, of his business. What's your business? I got the Father's business. Well, what does he do? He does everything. He sent his son. He saves everybody. So we're about the Father's business. Oh, is the Father's business only about salvation? No, no. It's about the kingdom. It's about becoming. So there's a world outside these doors that is waiting on you, waiting on me to be able to be that expression of God. And when we say something, we'll live it out. Andy, do you remember, me and we went to the restaurant, Ryan's restaurant? You remember we went over there for lunch a lot of days, and this one girl would come over and wait on us, and she'd wait on us a lot. Not one time did we tell her we were pastors. Not one time. Didn't invite her to church. We just lived. We just lived in front of her. Do you hear me? See, I like that saying, said, by all means, witness. And if you have to, use words. You remember that? You remember that? And then one day, Andy messed up. Andy said, yeah, I'm blaming you, brother. I really am. And Andy said, because she was laughing. She laughed every time we was over there. And it was just great. It was great. And she said, what do y'all do? And Andy said, he's a pastor. And she got to laugh and said, you're a pastor? Like a regular pastor? I said, no, I'm pretty irregular. But yeah, I'm a pastor. You remember that, Andy? And I said, but guess what? He is too. And she said, I would have never guessed that y'all were pastors. And I asked her, I said, why is that? You ready? Why is that? Well, pastors I wait on, most of the time, they got a suit and tie on. Well, it ain't happening here. Can happen. Got a suit and tie on. And they don't tip well. And they're always unsatisfied. And you can't please them. And I said, oh, we ain't them pastors. She said, I know that. I can tell that. Listen to this. You remember that, Andy? It's just like it was yesterday for me, but it's been a long, long time ago. But see, what was happening was life was happening with her. We let her live. We were living with her. And then she found out with pastor. Said, well, what church do you pastor? So we told them, you know. And then that's when I said, do you go to church? She said, I have. And I said, well, come on over to our church. She said, is everybody like this? And I said, everybody like this. You know, she came about three times, and she got saved her second trip. You remember that, Andy? She got saved her second trip. Listen, why is that? Life touches a life. A heart touches a heart. Religion will touch religion. You hear what I'm saying? So weeks and months before we ever told her, she enjoyed us coming. Why? She enjoyed the life that we were given. Okay. Employment. Isaiah says, rise and shine. Lights come upon you. And not only did he say that, he said, great darkness is going to cover the earth and great darkness is going to cover the people. But the light that you shine with will draw nations, will draw people that don't even know you. And it also said that the kings, people in authority, will come and say, what in the world is different about you? Okay. So you can quote the Bible all you want, but it don't make you know the truth. You know, there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of resources out there that we could give you. And now on top of that, we've got AI. AI can prepare your sermon for you. Are you hearing me? AI. Matter of fact, we're having an AI class that is coming up August 2nd at Family Life Center up here, right over here. And Dale, are you here? Yeah. Brother Dale Rush is going to be teaching us. And more than likely, what he's going to teach us, we're already behind from that, more than likely. Because it's so advancing. But we need to understand this thing about AI, this artificial intelligence. But pastors can put in now, they can put in, you know, make me a sermon on this, and it'll just make you a sermon. You know what that is? That is being able to talk about it, but you have no power. You don't have any power to impart to anybody because you're not living it. Living imparts. It will impart to people. They will feel the love. They will feel the kindness. They will have the impartation when we live it. And that's what God's asking us all to do, to live it, to live it out. Yeah, you miss it. A righteous man falls what? Seven times. And what does he do? He gets right back up and keeps on going. Don't you just love it? Don't you just love it? Well, that was page one. The thing we reduce ourselves to sometimes is what is called crossroad Christianity. Everybody say crossroad Christianity. We'll reduce ourselves to crossroad Christianity. You know what happens at a crossroad? Well, somebody say, well, you got to stop. Yeah, most of the time you have to stop at a crossroad. But what else is it? You got a choice of options. You got options to go left. You got options to go right. You got options to go straight. You got options to turn around and go back. Sometimes we reduce ourselves in our Christian living to crossroads, which means we got too many options. What is it that we need? What did Jesus say? Broad is the way that what? Leads to death and destruction. But what? Narrow is the way to what? To life. So when you come, no matter if you're at a crossroads or whatever, when you come, which road do you choose? The narrow road. The one that squeezes you a little bit. The one that reduces a lot of things that you could be doing. But he says, no, I said what I want you to do. So whatever your ways in life should only be one way. That's the narrow way. Not a lot of the options. Yeah, there's a lot of options. But see, you have to understand this, that the tree he said do not eat from was the tree of what? Evil? Mm-mm. It was the tree of what? Good and evil. Don't eat of the tree of good and evil. See, things can be good, but not God. I remember doing something. I remember in my life one time, I asked God, and this was just one time, I asked, God, where are you? And I remember plainly, I felt him say, I'm over here. I'm over here. He hadn't left me, but he says, I'm over here. Why are you over there? This is what I want you to do. It was a good thing that I was doing. It wasn't bad. It was a good thing. But it wasn't what God wanted me to do. That's living with the ever presence of the Holy Spirit to lead us here, to lead us there, to know. That's the reason he said, my sheep will what? Know my voice. If you're not spending time with the Lord, you need to start doing that today. Spend some time with him. Put away your list and spend time with him. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We all have them, and I don't. There's nothing wrong with it. But he says, I just want to spend time with you. Don't wait till you get in the shower to sing. Close the door. If you got a closet, get in the closet and let her go. Begin to just worship him. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound to your ear. Phew. He longs to have his people just enter in with him. Spend time with him. Don't be in a hurry. Spend time with him. So how do we know that we know the word? What we say, our life is demonstrating what we've been talking about. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the goodness that you've given us. Thank you for the love that you've given us. Lord, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of difficulties, you have a place for us to be your shining light to the people who has betrayed us, to the people that's hurt us. We are a shining light to the community. We don't have to stay stuck. No matter where we are, we walk with you every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Have you eaten from the Lord's table today? Let's give the Lord a hand for his word that we feed on every day. Real quickly, do we have any birthdays in July? Have any birthdays in July? All right. Charlie, sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear family. We thank God for you guys. We celebrate your birth. Real quick, there's some things you need to know before we get out of here, and we're getting out of here in just 2 minutes. Number one, August the 2nd, which is this coming Saturday, as Pastor alluded to, at 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we're having an AI class. We're inviting all the parents, all the students to come out so that we can better understand what's coming around the corner and how this affects us as people, as Christians, as students, as teachers and faculty. So I want you there to participate in that. Dale has got someone in from the school system, and he works in the school system with security, and they're implementing some of this in the public schools this year just because students and parents need to get a handle on this, so we want to invite you there. Okay, also, tonight, everybody say tonight. Tonight at 6:15, if you are a parent, a student, faculty member, teacher, if you're in the school system, we're inviting you out to our back-to-school splash tonight at the Far City Pool. Be there at 6:15. We ask you to dress modestly. If you don't know what that means, see someone that can explain that to you, okay? I'm not going to be the gatekeeper on that. Also, this is very important, what I'm about to say. Listen, if you're a parent or chaperone and you have a student you're bringing, you come with them. Don't drop them off. We've got a security person at the gate that will not allow them in without a chaperone. We're at a pool, so we want you there to make sure that they're safe and enjoying as well. So make sure you attend with them as well, okay? Finally, we want to take a moment and just pray and ask God to be with Sister Laura Faye Weatherly. We prayed for her daughter last week, if you remember, where she went on to be with the Lord. And so we want to pray for that family there. So let's just bow our heads right now and ask the Lord to come in. Lord, we just ask you right now that you are the God of comfort, and you are the God that comes in and encourages and Lord, comforts us in our times of trials and pain and hurt. And Lord, we all know what it's like to hurt and to lose someone. And so we ask you right now to come in and be with Sister Laura Faye Weatherly and her family. And we celebrate her daughter's life and know that, God, that you are surrounding us all with your grace and your mercy. And we just ask you right now that you'll continue to encourage that family and be with that family and show us ways that we can encourage that family. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. New members, if you're here for the first time, go back and see Pastor Terry at the back. He's got some parting gifts. Rice-a-roni, that San Francisco treat. You might get that and some other things. Also, if you want to know what's going on and I missed it, go to fathersvineyard.org. Click on events. You'll see everything that's going on in the church. Bye, everybody. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.